If you'll all join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you on this special time, the eve of the feast of the seventh month. We pray that all that we do in this time would be an honor and glory to you, for we know that these are your days. These are days you have ordained. These are days that are kept yearly, as this Sabbath is kept weekly. And we pray, Almighty Yahweh, that you'll bless those who observe these days, these times, be with them, protect them for those coming, to give them safe journeys. We pray also that you'll continue to watch over your people, be with those who have special needs, that they might find those in you. And we pray that you'll continue now in this service to watch over our words and to give us the understanding that would solidify and strengthen our own spirit and our own desire to follow you. So this prayer and petition we ask in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. As you probably heard, there was a slight chance to see the moon last night, but when you're looking at a moon that's only 5.9% visible at sunset, it's going to be less as the time goes on. And there's other reasons too that it, but you never know. We've been surprised in the past. Someone saw it somewhere, and if they are true believers and have the right credentials of honoring Yahweh in his name, then we go with it. But nothing happened last night, so we're looking tonight. Understanding the scriptures isn't just anything, it's everything. Our salvation hinges on the word, and that means knowing what is expected of us as believers of Almighty Yahweh. We're in training now for the kingdom. I think we all realize that. Nothing on earth matters more. Nothing in your life matters more than what's coming in the kingdom. Kingdom positions aren't just handed out on a silver platter. As nominal worship might teach, all you have to do is die. Then you get your wings and you waft off to heaven. This myth has destroyed obedience more than almost any other teaching out there. Almost any other teaching, maybe besides the rapture teaching. I don't have to do anything. I'll be raptured off. Don't have to worry about the coming events that Yahshua said, take heed, don't be deceived. I don't have to worry about that. I'm going to be raptured. Well, here we got, don't need to be obedient. Just have faith and just have trust in Yahweh and you're good to go. But our walk in truth depends on a correct grasp of that truth as well as our resolve to follow it. In 2 Thessalonians 5:21, Paul wrote, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good." Paul also told Timothy, "Study to show yourself approved." Now, why would you have to study if it's all done for you? There's nothing to do but have faith. Why would he say that? Study. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's no need for that if it's all done for you. Yahshua did it all. That doesn't mean running to your minister with every Bible question. There's no guarantee that he's got it right anyway. In my estimation, 95% of today's clergy either don't know the truth or will not give the truth. Salvation that lead to salvation, because those truths pivot on obedience. And that's one thing they do not want to hear. They despise the word obedience because that means the law. And of course, it's another thing they don't want. They've blown up the foundation and found it's found in 2/3 of the Bible, the first 2/3. They tell you the law has been done away in the New Testament, and for them, the Old Testament is just that, old and for ancient Israel and not for us today. Here's some simple advice. Those who preach against the law and obedience to Yahweh, don't ask them to pray for you. Because Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Don't even bother asking. Just because society recognizes a clergyman as genuine doesn't make it so. Only Yahweh makes it so. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1 are the definitions, the qualifications for a minister. He makes it so. Isaiah 30, verse 9 says, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yahweh. That means you must study it out for yourself. That's what we do here. We study it out for yourself. We published a study Bible to help you do that, because we know there's lots of thousands of questions out there people have and have for the last 3,000-4,000 years. So get it from the source to make sure you can prove it, make sure that it's right. I saw an ad for some group's Bible in which they basically boast no footnotes. No footnotes. That doesn't help the Bible student grow in understanding, does it? He can get the same Bible without footnotes at Dollar General and probably a lot cheaper. Footnotes are help notes. And we have lots of them, over 2,000 in our Bible, where you can actually prove it for yourself. Go back into the source languages and find out if it's right or not. We do that to help the student. But with study, you must prove it in your heart, believe it, and show. Early on, when we first came out, one or two editions, I guess it was the second edition, we had started putting footnotes in, and a man came here. He's an elderly man. He says, you know what, I get more reading the footnotes than I have in 25 years of going to church, because they don't have footnotes. They just say, listen to the minister, he'll tell you a sweet little story, and you can go home and feel good for another week. Yahweh is a mighty one of specifics and particulars, and he fills the scriptures with his plan because he expects his people to follow it. He gives it to us from many different directions, from direct commands all the way through scripture, through various examples, through parables, through contrasts in the lives of his people, in Yahshua's life, in the lives of his disciples. All of these things are meant to teach, to help us. On the other hand, worship today operates on a broad, generalized, nebulous spectrum. It eliminates biblical do's and don'ts in favor of tradition and man's notions. Just let Yahshua into your heart. He did it all for you. All you need is belief, and certainly not a practicing hands-on faith. That's too much work. That's too much effort. These notions are encapsulated in Luther's faith alone teaching. It's all you need is faith alone. Find it in his Bible, his German translation. Faith alone. It's a very small encapsulation that he comes to with that teaching. So stop right there. According to Yahshua, into your heart, according to scripture, means to get on board with his plan, his demand for your obedience. Certainly we have to obey what he told us to obey, or he was just wasting his time here on earth for 3.5 years. What's the point? We have to obey what he told us to do, what he taught. Certainly we must believe what he did for us. Absolutely we must trust him. You bet we put our faith and trust and hope in him. But believe him how? How do we believe him? Trust him in what? Just accept when he says he's our Savior and nothing more? Is that all it's all about? Is that it? Does believing in him translate into instant righteousness? Even the devils, James says in 2:19, even the devils believe and tremble. So it's more than just belief. Deuteronomy 26:16 says, this day Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you to do these statutes and judgments. You shall therefore keep and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. It's not just a heart thing. You do it with your heart. Is the true faith just a product of emotion? Is it just a mind thing with no action? Very sedentary, don't have to do anything. Is that what it is? Is it a true faith only mental? If that's all there is to it, then we just need a 2-page Bible instead of a 2,000-page Bible, right? Like the RSB. Actions show what we are inside. That's the key. What we do is what we are, what we believe, what we live for, was what we do. Yahweh looks at actions, putting his commands into practice. Ezekiel 11:19 tells us, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. In other words, a soft, compliant heart that's willing to do what he says. Now notice, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. Oh, it's something we have to do and not just confess. And they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. Here's what Yahweh and his son expects of true worship, as told by the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 17, verse 9. I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins. How does he do this? Even to give every man according to his ways, not just his thoughts. According to the fruit of his doings, you see, not just words, but actions. And that means to obey Bible teachings. And so here's a summation of it all in the New Testament, Revelation 2:23. If you think this is, well, you're quoting a lot of Old Testament. All right, let's quote New Testament, Revelation 2:23. All the assembly shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Oh, please don't give me that word. Works. No, I don't want works. If someone says, well, that's works righteousness, I say, of course it is. And that's just what the Bible teaches. If they say, well, you're a legalist, I say, indeed I am, because I'm told in hundreds of scriptures throughout to obey Yahweh's statutes and judgments. And I sure don't want to be an illegalist. The New Testament quotes the Old Testament 300 times. Why? Why? The foundation, if you haven't gathered what I'm talking about, is the Old Testament. It's the foundation of Yahweh's word. So the New Testament quotes the Old Testament 300 times because both Testaments are Yahweh's word. Both of them go together, hand in glove. You can't have one without the other, like the old song used to say. Yahshua said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. They throw out the Old Testament because there's so much in there you have to do. Well, they gloss over what the New Testament says of the same thing. But anyway, in case you didn't get it the first time, he repeats it in Luke 4:4, Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of Yahweh. The exact same words. Is the Old Testament the word of Yahweh? That's the question. Was this just something added, like some apocrypha? I'm going to talk about the apocrypha at the feast, bring out some things you may not have known. But anyway, the true worshiper will live and breathe the scriptures. He'll know them and apply them to his life. You may not remember book, chapter, and verse, but you can quote it. You can quote what it says. When someone talks to you about it, he will know the scriptures and apply them to his life, all of them, old and new, because they are the will and wisdom of Yahweh. They are his character. They are his nature. They are what he is all about and wants us to be all about as well. So you can't open someone's head and find out what they're all about. You can't look into it and say, oh, he's a good guy. No, it doesn't work that way. To know someone, you watch their actions. You watch them in life. You watch them see how they conduct themselves in all sorts of different ways. I think this is how Yahshua was too. He showed his disciples as they walked with him every day, 3.5 years, how he conducted himself in all sorts of a variety of different situations. Came up against the Pharisees attacking him. How did he answer? How did he do it? Comes up against someone who's poor, someone who's sick. What did he do? You learn what to do in life by watching his actions. That's what he had them do. You can say anything, but you still can deny him in how you live and how you act. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12:14, "For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So you're going to be rewarded by what you do, either bad or good. Romans 2:6 says, "He will render to every man according to his deeds," not according to his thoughts, not according to his confessions, but according to his deeds. It's the doing. The obedience is where the rubber meets the road. Romans 2:13, "For not the hearers of the law are just before Elohim, but the doers of the law shall be justified." See, works can condemn as well as reward. Faith and works go together. Faith justifies the person, while works justify faith. Let me say that again. There's a distinction there, but they work together. Faith justifies the man, and works justify faith. James explains it in James 2, 21 to 22. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing you how faith wrought with his works," see that, how they work together? "And by works was faith made perfect." It's not one or the other. It's both. It's both working together, symbiotic. Verse 24, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." So Luther, I'm sorry, you got it wrong. We realize you had a big problem with indulgences, and we don't blame you for that. But your 95 theses were all about indulgences. Why didn't you get on to the important, the real important things about living the life of Yahweh? But you threw the baby out with the bathwater. Salvation is not by faith alone. It's by faith, but not alone. Abraham's faith was tested by what he did. Would he actually sacrifice Isaac up there, his only begotten son? Hey, he's a parallel to Yahweh and Yahshua. Would he actually do it? He was raising his knife and he was ready to do it. And the angel grabbed him and said, "Stop. Now I know what's in your heart. Now I know what you'll do. Now I know what kind of faith you have by your actions." Our faith is put to the test regularly, even if we don't know it. How many times in life is our faith put to the test? We didn't think about it. They profess that they know Elohim. That's a mental exercise. But in works they deny him, like not observing the Sabbath and feast days. You don't do that, you're really denying him, because these are commanded. Titus 1:16. "If we're to serve as priests in his kingdom, administering his statutes then in the kingdom, how can we deny them now? How can we say we don't observe these things if we're going to be teaching them? It doesn't work. It doesn't wash. It's contradictory. This life shows who and what we are, including whether we're worthy for the kingdom." Yahweh works with clay, molds it, shapes it. We're the clay. He's the potter. Can we be useful servants in his kingdom if we can't be molded to his will, to obey him? You know, once you die, and believe me, it's been a rough year. I think we've had 5 funerals in the last few months. It's been rough. But once you die, you can't change the record of your life. You can't repent. You can't pray for mercy. It's over. The record of your life is set in stone, and that's all you can do. John wrote in Revelation 14:13 that the dead rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. In other words, they got a record of what they did on this life. And all Yahweh really has to do is roll back the videotape and See what this guy's all about. Think about it. Now is the time to work out your salvation. Don't wait till it's too late. Are we going to continue wallowing in the superficialities of this life? When's it going to stop? When are we going to begin to live for Yahweh? Are we going to get serious with him? Are we just part-timers with Yahweh? Or are we all in, living the example of Yahshua's life? It wasn't just his teachings, it was his example in his teachings. 1 Peter 2:21, for even here unto were you called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Why didn't it just say, since you follow him? But it gives us a visual. Follow his steps as you walk, as he walked. Yahshua did Yahweh's will, John 4:34. He followed the word to the T. To follow him and be like him, we got to do the same thing. Follow it to the T. Yahweh wants to see action, hands on. His truth reflects a living, active faith. You know, you look at the Jews over there in Israel, when they pray at the Wailing Wall, which they call it, they get into their prayer and they do this. They're woo, woo, you know, and they're praying, they're going at it, and because they get into it. Israel has always been an active people. We read through the Old Testament how active they were all the time, moving, growing, doing. They don't just sit around in their hammocks. Yahweh wants action. When he looks at our heart, does he see an individual longing to observe every one of his commands and happy to do so, including the feast and Sabbath? Does he see brethren, loving brethren as themselves, sacrificing for them as we do for Yahshua, our coming judge? What he says, you do to your brother, you do to me. Let's be careful how we treat our brethren. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, an active sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable, logikos, logical in Greek, service. It's what's expected of you. Reasonable means expected. Logical. Yahshua said in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man by according to his works. Every man according to his works. It's logical to reward behavior, isn't it? You do a good job at work, you get rewarded. Maybe you get promoted. You're rewarded by your actions. It's logical. It's just common sense. But if you act like an uncircumcised Philistine, your reward is going to be commensurate. You're not going to go very far with that. Are we judged by how we live, not how we profess? You bet. Rewarded according to our actions. We can claim anything, but what we practice is what we really are. You can be a phony about it, but people see that, especially Yahweh sees it. In my early years, I applied for a skilled labor job. I really needed that job. I had a baby, a wife, had no work. So I went to this place and I could do some of the things. I said, I can do it. And I was given 2 weeks to prove myself. It wasn't just my word that the boss trusted. He wanted to see if I actually could do it. He wanted proof that I could handle the work. Just saying I could wasn't good enough. He was going to invest in me, and he wanted proof. Same thing with Yahweh. He's investing us. He's investing with us and wants to see proof too. Just saying we believe and have faith isn't enough without real evidence. Yahweh wanted Israel to learn how to follow him by obeying the commands he gave through the day-in, day-out challenges that they had to face. They had enemies all around. What were they going to do? Spiritual as well as physical. Would they follow through with what he gave them, or would they say in time, well, it's too difficult? and give up in favor of an easier worship. That's basically what they did. Too much. We'll just make our own. We'll make a calf and we'll bow down before it. Thinking about that, though, that's what they learned in Egypt for how many? 400 and some years. That's how Egyptians worshipped. So it wasn't any big leap for them to do the same thing. That's what they were good at. That's what they did. Most Israel preferred the Frank Sinatra route and say, I'll do it my way. Most worship today misses the mark because people don't understand what Yahweh expects. And they're told otherwise than what he expects. They don't fear him. He's way down on their list of priorities. The Old Testament, brethren, is the anchor for New Testament teachings. Sometimes it's the only authority to ascertain truth of a New Testament teaching. You don't understand it. You go back to the foundation. You go back to the Old Testament. It'll explain it to you. Always look to the first time it's mentioned in Scripture, and that'll be your foundation. That'll be your reference point, the first time it's mentioned. Here's an example. In a question about the fate of wives in the resurrection, the Pharisees in Matthew 22 tried to trip up Yahshua. He told them, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Are you kidding me? This is their banner. This is their call to glory. You couldn't outwork. You couldn't out-Pharisee a Pharisee because they kept the law. And he tells them, you don't know the scriptures. Can you imagine why they wanted to kill him? That's just one of the reasons. He went to the foundation of truth. He went to the Old Testament as the scriptures, the only Bible in existence at that time. There was no New Testament. When he said anything about scripture, he's talking Old Testament. Their own Savior, they deny when they say you don't have to obey. Their own Savior taught obedience from the scriptures, the Old Testament. Modern clerics would rather have Yahshua say, well, once I die and I'm resurrected, I'll put to rest that obsolete Old Testament and give you freedom to worship as you wish. Rest assured that no matter how you conduct your life, you'll still be saved. You just need faith. Hang on a few decades, and I'll have my Apostle Paul write you a New Testament that will free you from that need to take seriously what my father wrote in the Old Testament. You don't have to obey. If the Old Testament is defunct, then why did Yahshua quote the Old Testament to prove who he was? Why did Yahshua refer to the Old Testament as proof of his messiahship? Why did Yahshua instruct his sermons to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of Yahweh? We all agree the Old Testament is inspired, New Testament is inspired. And we're lived by every word. You can't throw part of it out, two-thirds out, say, well, I understand his will. No, you don't. Why did Paul teach the same thing in 2 Timothy 3:16, saying all scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh and is profitable for doctrine, that's teachings, for reproof, that's for correction and correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Elohim may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Over and over again, the message is clear. The message is simply clear. Why did Yahshua take so much time and effort expounding the teachings of the Old Testament? Why did he bother? Scriptures are the foundation of Yahweh's word. And Yahshua taught them. They testify to his existence, his purpose, and the plan for his coming to this earth. They cannot be deleted from the Bible. John 10:35 says, Scripture cannot be broken. You can't break it off. We're just a New Testament assembly. You can't do that. Deuteronomy 28:9, Yahweh will establish you for a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim and walk in his ways. You'll be a holy people if you walk in my ways, he says. Yahshua issued the plainest condemnation of the religious leaders of his day in John 7:19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law? There again, boy, that got raised the ire, didn't it? What? You're telling us we don't keep the law, and we keep it to the the farthest extent? What a colossal slap in their face. They didn't get it. They didn't get the right application. They were all caught up in do's and don'ts without the heart. This tells us what he expects. The law transmitted by Moses is to be kept in the New Testament in the right way, with the heart. We could, I guess, cite many examples, reasons for the Old Testament being Yahweh's word. You know, we could do that. But the strongest comes from Yahshua himself. Yahshua speaks with absolute authority, and his testimony regarding the Old Testament is loud and clear. Yahshua taught the Old Testament, referenced it, urged his people to read it and keep it. Luke 24:27, and beginning at Moses, we're talking Old Testament now, Genesis, Exodus, you know, the Pentateuch, the Torah, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, that's what comes after the first part. He expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That's in the Old Testament. They teach Yahshua. After finally it dawned on the people that they were speaking to the risen Savior, they said in verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Old Testament. Anytime you see scriptures talked about in the New Testament, it's more than likely talking about Old Testament. Now stop and think a minute. Modern clerics would have rewritten this part to have Yahshua saying, now that I died and am resurrected, I put to rest that Old Testament and have given you freedom to live as you wish because you are now covered by grace. And I just want you to know that no matter how you live, you will still be covered and still be saved. That's the message they would want to send. That's the message they teach. And by the way, hang on a few decades until a fellow named Paul writes you a new Bible and you'll be free from the need to obey anything Yahweh gave through me, and then you can follow what Paul says instead of me, your future judge. Yahshua confirms the veracity and necessity of the Old Testament over and over and over. Why did Yahshua quote the Old Testament to affirm who he was? Why did Yahshua refer to the Old Testament as proof of his messiahship? Simply because the Old Testament scriptures are the foundation of Yahweh's word. When you crack the foundation, when homes have a cracked foundation, they got serious problems. They got to hire special teams to go up there and pump in some extra concrete or whatever. If that foundation falls, your whole structure falls. If the Old Testament falls, the whole structure will fall. Yahweh confirms the Old Testament. The Old Testament testifies to his existence, his purpose, and his plan of and for the Messiah. What is significant is that Yahshua never stopped teaching the Old Testament, the foundation, not even after he rose from the grave. A key rule of Bible study is if you want to know the truth of an issue, as I said, go back to the first time it's mentioned in Scripture. That'll give you the proper foundation. To understand Yahshua's reason for coming to earth, go back to the Old Testament foundation. There are in the Old Testament 300 prophecies of the first coming of Yahshua. 300 prophecies. Do we need the Old Testament? And 500 predictions of his second coming in the Old Testament, being made centuries, even thousands of years before he was born at Bethlehem. And every one was fulfilled to the letter. A French mathematician named George Herron calculated that the odds of one man fulfilling only 40 of these 800 prophecies, the odds are 1 in 10 to the 157th power. I can't even, my mind collapses even at the magnitude of that number. That's 10 followed by 157 zeros. That's just one man fulfilling 40 of those 800 prophecies. Another mathematician, Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, claims the odds of only 60 of these prophecies being fulfilled by the Son of Elohim, and who died on the tree at Golgotha and who rose the third day, is astronomical. That's just one in one trillion, not just one in one trillion, but one in 10 to the 895th power, 10 to 895 zeros. A complete and utter total impossibility that this was just coincidence. Impossible. No one, and that's just 60 out of 800. No one but Yahshua could have been the one of whom the Old Testament prophesied as the Messiah. He's at the center of both Old and New Testaments. In the words of Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture given by inspiration of Yahweh indeed is profitable for doctrine. All scripture, now we're talking about Old and New Testament, they go together, for teaching, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Yahshua said the Old Testament was divinely inspired, the veritable word of Elohim his Father. He referred to Old Testament scripture as the commandment of Elohim in Matthew 15:3. He said that the laws it contained were indestructible. Until heaven and earth pass, not one letter or stroke shall pass away from the law, one yod or tittle, until all is accomplished. Now they say that the law has been done away. Look outside. You still see the earth? You still see heaven and earth? Still out there? I mean, nothing's gone black yet. We haven't blown up. We're not burnt up. Until that happens, the law is still going to be in effect. Now, there's a good visual for you. Until all is accomplished. Notice that he mentions that even the very smallest letters and embellishments of those letters would remain intact and in force. You look at the Hebrew and you see these little look at this. Little embellishments. He said, not even those would go away until the heaven and earth pass. When dealing with the people of his day, whether it was with the disciples or religious rulers, Yahshua frequently, always it seems, referred to the Old Testament. Have you not read that which was spoken to you by Elohim? And then he quotes Exodus 3:6. That's in Matthew 22:31. Yea, and have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, thou hast prepared praise for yourself, Matthew 21:16. And have you not read what David did? Constantly, have you not read? Don't you know those scriptures? Examples like these are everywhere throughout the New Testament, demonstrating that Yahshua was thoroughly conversant with the Old Testament. He didn't do away with it. Didn't want to do away with it, would never do away with it. That wasn't his plan. He quoted from it, taught from it, and trusted it totally because Yahweh gave it as inspired word. So what about us? Should we not be doing the same today? Has one yod or tittle been abolished from the law, from the word? Yahshua confirmed many of the accounts of the Old Testament. After all, he was there. He was there as the Yahweh of the Old Testament. He attested to the destruction of Sodom and the death of Lot's wife in Luke 17:29-32. He attested to the murder of Abel by his brother Cain in Luke 11:51. He attested to the calling of Moses, Mark 12:26. The manna given in the wilderness, John 6:31-51. The judgment upon Tyre and Sidon, Matthew 11:21, and a host of other events. He could do that because he was there. He saw it firsthand. Not only did Yahshua conform to the historicity of these accounts, but he also authenticated some of the passages that are most disputed today. Many modern scholars do not believe that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. They apparently know more than Yahshua, who gave them to Moses on Mount Sinai. Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Matthew 19:8-9. We studied that today. And John 7:19. The account of David is rejected by many as not actually coming from the pen of Daniel. I'm sorry, Daniel, not David. But Yahshua believed, Yahshua confirmed it, confirmed Daniel to be a prophet by affirming his writings. And by the way, there's several apocryphal writings inserted into the book of Daniel. We'll look at that too eventually when we study that. So people say, well, Daniel can't be trusted. No, but that's not the issue. The issue was some scribes inserted these books into parts of Daniel, and as if they were Daniel's, but you can prove they weren't not. The account of Adam and Eve often is ridiculed as legend, but Yahweh or Yahshua cited the story as true in Matthew 19:1-6. We could go on and on. The narrative of Noah and the flood not only is authenticated by Yahshua in Matthew 24:37, but also is used as an example of events preceding his second coming, when the whole world will be under conflagration. Finally, the most unbelievable of all is the account of Jonah and the great fish, for most people, is used by Yahshua as a sign of his resurrection. Matthew 12:39-40. It's almost as Yahshua was anticipating some of these things, anticipating modern criticism that would deny these words. The conclusion is simple. If a person believes in Yahshua the Messiah, he must be consistent and believe the Old Testament as well. And its accounts, they're correct and important enough to teach from. Either Yahshua knew what he was talking about or did not, and he's a fraud. One way or the other. The evidence is clear that Yahshua saw the Old Testament as being Yahweh's word, written by Yahweh, inspired by Yahweh. His attitude toward it was nothing less than total trust. There's a messianic signature that kind of runs through the Bible. It's not a collection of disjointed fragments. It's one unified and complete plan from beginning to end. When we read it, we see something growing before our eyes. We see design unfolding in the book of Genesis, which is completed, the climax in Revelation. There's a whole plan of the Bible. You have to take it as a whole. And he is our key to understanding Scripture. He's in every book through either direct or indirect reference, as a shadow, as a type, or as an allusion to him. He is the beginning, purpose, and the completion of all 66 books of the Bible. The New Testament is full of references to the Old. The Old lays a foundation for the New. You can't correctly understand the New properly without knowing the Old Testament and believing it. Each book is like a chapter in a novel, as explains a different version or different aspect of Yahweh's word. To call out a people for his name for a marvelous purpose by becoming part of his growing family. Denominational worship sees us as peculiar because we want to live by the whole Bible. Well, we're New Testament only. What are you messing around with the Old Testament? Because it's Yahweh's word and it's inspired of Yahweh. If they would just dispense with all the invalid doctrinal baggage they've carried around for 2,000 years and start taking the Bible at face value, doing exactly what it says to do, they would end up where we are. They would have no alternative but keep the true Sabbath, Yahweh's feasts, the commandments, just as Yahweh's chosen people must do and have always done, and not follow misguided leaders that have their own private agendas. Nothing foundational has changed in Yahweh's word, proved by Yahshua's life and by what he observed himself. Hope this message has helped when someone tells you, wow, that's Old Testament. Yeah, and that makes it important, doesn't it? What do you mean? Well, let me give you a few scriptures. Let's talk about Yahshua. He affirmed it. He taught it. He gave it to us as truth. I hope we can all accept it as that. May Yahweh bless you and have a good feast.